shows lean left, some lean right, but we lean local and business. This is North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. For the next hour, we will celebrate the businesses in our area and the people that run them. Find us on Facebook at North Georgia Business Radio X and online at NorthGeorgiaBusinessRadioX.com. Now, here's Phil Bonelli.
Hello, everybody. This is an April Fool's Weekend special edition coming your way. My name is Tony Herdner. I've had the pleasure of being interviewed by Phil Bonelli a few weeks ago, but this week we have a special guest, and that is Phil Bonelli himself.
Hey!
And so we are reversing the tables, and maybe we'll just jump right in with that, Phil. Like, you've been in this chair that I'm taking over for a few minutes. What does it feel like to be on the other side?
It feels feels weirder than I would think. I'm so used to being in that one spot, and it's making me think of what a difference a little change in perspective makes.
Yeah, you're not as smooth as you normally were when I was with you.
Right?
No, you're spot on.
We'll get warmed up.
Okay, but I just want to, one, thank you for the opportunity to interview you, Phil. I it's a pleasure. We've known each other over 10 years, and I remember our first meeting. You called me up and said, let's talk about the United Way, and I think that epitomizes your service to this community.
Thanks,
and
Tony.
So I think it's great that the audience is going to learn a little bit more about the real Phil Bonelli, that the man behind the mic that helps share everybody else's great stories. So now we're going to hear a little about you. We understand, or you and I, you know, hang out a little bit, that you made a big change in your life, and the process leading up to that, the emotions and the pragmatic nature of that process. So why don't you share with the audience that?
You bet. I did make a big change, and that is I have retired from commercial banking. I don't really talk a lot about banking on the show generally, but I have been, since I graduated from the University of Georgia in 2007, I have been a commercial banker in one capacity or another. I have loved that as a career, and I am so thankful that I got to wrap that career up at Regions, where I worked for the last 5.5 years of said career. I love Regions because it is a bank that is, I love the size. They have like all the tools that you would need, but it's still very kind of family feel. And what I loved about that career is that I got to work with businesses. And as you may have noticed if you're listening to their show, I really love business. I love, it takes guts and intuition. It takes all these things to run a business. And a huge part of my job was just learning about these businesses and looking to add value to them. And at the bank, at the heart of banking, the way we added value to businesses is you take excess capital. Think about a business's deposits. They have excess capital and they have it at the bank. So the bank is accumulating all this excess capital, and then we would use our, you know, industry expertise and knowledge to lend out that capital and put it out to how it could best be used to grow the economy. And what I'm going to be doing now, I have a consulting firm, Roundtable Advisors, and we are just look to take business experience capital. We take mind capital and share it with businesses that need it. And we do that by having fractional executives. If you think about a business as they grow, they there's somebody or a group of people who are great operators. They're great at running their business or doing the thing. It could be landscaping. It could be HVAC. It could be manufacturing. And they're doing the thing. But as they grow, they get to a point where they could really use some executive support to put in system structures and have maybe a CFO. But for a small business, it's tough to afford.
That obviously, going from a corporate structure, your region's family-oriented, this and that, and now you are it. You are everything. I mean, tell us a little bit about what prepared you for this moment. From your, you mentioned school, how did you grow up? And this obviously had to have been a passion of yours. Give us a little bit of background.
Sure.
What people don't know about Phil Bonelli and why he's
well,
he is.
It was a big leap to go from a you know, fairly successful career with a W-2 and bonuses and benefits and all these things to zero security at all. The preparation from that certainly came from a variety of things. One, my faith certainly played into it. I kind of look at it like, you know, Regions Bank was not my provider. God's my provider, and I'm thankful he did it through Regions. But I'm doing something I feel called to do, and I'm just trusting that provision will come. And of course, I have significant plans and whatnot of how to make that occur. But I've always been entrepreneurial. When I worked at a bank, I kind of always looked at like I'm a franchisee of that bank. Hmm. I've got my own goals, my own book of business that I have to go achieve. And so I like to operate that way. But I think I would have got fulfillment continuing to work in a corporate environment with that entrepreneurial mindset. But this need to place fractional CFOs and fractional executives to help businesses, it lit me on fire when I heard of it.
Well, that's exciting, and it fits you, everything I know about you. But maybe the audience knows, many of you probably know, but in addition to the corporate world, you roll up your sleeves and your muck boots and have your own farm, Hopewell Farms, that's you've had under operation for at least a few years, if not more, 50-plus acres out in North Hall, and it's been just a joy to watch you evolve and grow into a business in its own right. Tell us a little bit about how farming came into the world. Your Green Acres, I think that's what we're going to start calling it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, and that is something that did prepare me for this as well, because when you think of a farm, you think of chickens or cows or tractors or whatever, but it is certainly a business, and building that, and we sell direct to consumer, so we don't sell into any commodity markets. I raise cows, pigs, turkeys, chickens, and we have the meat harvested. We market that. We have a store at the farm. We do the whole thing, and we sell that meat. And I have loved building that, and that is another thing that definitely pushed me over the fence, is that I want to build my own. I enjoy building things. It's fun.
Well, I'm going to even impress you a little more. You enjoy building it because I see you out there literally, but you love marketing, but you love people.
I do.
What do you do every Saturday morning, not just teaching about, but the type of farming and the regenerative nature and the back to basics, for lack of a better term, but share the audience that unique feature.
I do love, of all the things on the farm, I mean, I love improving the land and the health of the land. I love the animals. I mean, I just love all of it. It's kind of makes it feel like a man, for lack of a better term, doing that stuff, you know, tractors and chainsaws. But I love people, and I love sharing what we do with people. And really not, I mean, I'm happy to do marketing, but the free farm tours we do Saturday mornings at 10, I love helping people connect to this tangible thing that is regenerative farming you referenced. So regenerative farming is, you know, we're raising animals, we're raising pastures to feed those animals, but we're doing so in a way where we want to follow nature's principles and steward them, so we're making the environment better than it was before. And there's a lot of different ways we do that, but it is very fulfilling to really look at, we're raising a healthier product. It's so much more nutrient dense. There's nothing bad enough for you. There's no chemicals.
Right.
There's no artificial hormones or steroids or antibiotics. We don't use anything.
There's no tilling.
There's no tilling. We're not tearing up the land. And I really love, I mean, I look at it, it's like I feel like Adam in the garden. I'm a steward of this natural landscape. And I love that. And so I love to share it with people. And people are drawn to farms.
Well, speaking of sharing, before we head to our break here in a few seconds, can you share with the audience how they can learn more about Hopewell Farms, specifically your Instagrams? And it's not just farming, folks. You know, Phil will, you know, share an inspiration on when a baby calf is born, or the opportunity not have to go to work, get to go to work. I find those very helpful, but share with how they can understand more about Hopewell Farm.
Yes, we have a website, hopewellfarmsga.com, farms plural, hopewellfarmsga.com. And yeah, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. I think it's just Hopewell Farms GA. There was another Hopewell Farms when we went to form the LLC, so we had to tag GA on at the end. But that's actually very fitting, because we are solely committed to Northeast Georgia.
Yep. And you're just at the north end near Murrayville, so it's not far from everybody in the Gainesville area. We're going to take a quick break here while we regenerate ourselves, and we'll be back to you on North Georgia Business Radio X. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. We have the pleasure of interviewing the longtime host and of the show. I'm Tony Herdner. I'm here with Phil Benelli, and we're going to continue our discussion. You obviously shared about Hopewell Farms. You obviously live there, and so it's 24/7. Tell us a little bit about your family. I have the pleasure of being a volunteer farmer with you at times, but tell me about your family. I love seeing them run around chasing pigs and chasing you.
Thanks, Tony. I often say that of all the things, I love raising the animals on the farm. I love building the farm, but the most important thing we're raising is the four kids who are there. Caroline, who's 12, Weston, who's 10, Libby, who is 8, and Benny, who just turned 6. And how I got into the farming really was for them. I was not looking to be a farmer. I did not grow up on a farm. My dad thought farming was cool. He kind of always wanted to be a farmer, and he did get a couple chickens, and now he has a few cows too. But I just wanted a couple acres to run around on with the kids. We said, hey, we'd either like to have a few acres or to be on the lake, being Lake Lanier. And we found this house on 10 acres, and we liked it a lot. And I thought, this is awesome, 10 acres. So we could have a zip line, you know, ride dirt bikes or whatever. But it ended up, it was part of a 43-acre farm. And they were selling the other 33 separate. And I could not afford the whole thing. And again, I wasn't looking to be a farmer. But I was like, you know, I don't want anyone to build a subdivision around my little 10 acres of paradise. And we got creative. Figured if we rented out the basement, shout out to the lovely Miss Kay, who rents our basement, and we love having her. She's another member of the family, really, that we could get the rest of the land. So we did. And that was in 2019. And so the impetus was just, I want to hang out with my kids. I want to take my sons deer hunting and my daughters and play with them. And then that led to this larger piece of property. And my mind cannot help but say, how can I produce with an asset, which got me into the farming, which has now just gone crazy. So it all started for them, and still now I build it. I'm always telling them, I want you to run it.
Well, and I see it, because when I'm out there, there's a saying in child rearing, so those of you with kids, you know, let kids do things dangerous safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they form grit.
I love that.
So that they get those the soft skills, hard skills, and get away from the screen. Watch Phil's kids for a while. I want to go revisit the farm. I think, 10 acres, 30 acres. Talk a little bit about the scale. I mean, you have like 30, 40 head of cattle. The last time I was out there, it looked like 24 pigs, hundreds of chickens, turkeys. You did turkeys a couple of years ago.
Right.
That's not a, it's not a mega farm, but it's not a...
It's not a gentleman farm.
There, go for it.
I did not start out just saying, hey, I'll raise a cow for me to eat. I got these 15 mama cows. It was already a cattle farm, and the prior owner, big farm mentor of mine, Ricky, he did cow-calf. If you see a cow out there in Northeast Georgia, it's almost definitely part of a cow-calf operation, which just means the farmer has mama cows, he hopes they have a calf each year, and then he's going to sell the calves at auction. It is very unlikely that calf is part of a system like ours, where it's born, you raise it up, and then you sell the meat from the farm. We harvest generally about 20 beefs a year, and then last year we did 33 pigs. This year we should do about 50 or 60, and then we'll do about 2,000 meat chickens, and I have 300 turkey poults that will be delivered once they hatch in about June to be harvested fresh, never frozen for Thanksgiving. So we're cranking out a lot of regenerative protein out there.
But the other unique, and you touched on it, but I think the audience needs to understand this regenerative and the non-synthetic hormones, et cetera. Your cattle, your chickens, your pigs are grass-fed in a truest sense.
There's all natural as it comes. That's right. The cows are all grass-fed, and we can talk in a second about what that means and why that's important. There's a lot of misleading labels out there in food. For example, you might see something that is a cage-free hen or a free-range chicken, and these terms, quite frankly, are fairly meaningless. What you want for a omnivore, that means they eat both meat and plants, which is pigs, chickens, and turkeys. They're just like us. They eat a lot of bugs and whatnot. You want them to be pasture-raised, which means they are not in a confined warehouse. They're wandering around. And we utilize different tools to do that. But they live outside every day, and therefore they need zero medication because they're not in an unhealthy environment. So as we move them, they stay healthy, they fertilize our land for us, and they get out of their own manure, and they're more nutrient-dense because they're eating plants. On the note of plants, do you mind if I tell about grass-fed quick?
No, please do. You got a few minutes.
There's a lot of terms. Cows, every cow begins her life out on grass. But generally, all the meat that you're going to see at the store, for the most part, it then goes to a feedlot, where it just basically lives in a mud yard and is fed genetically modified grain that's covered in herbicides. And cows and other large herbivores, cows, sheep, goats, they're made to just eat green leafy plants. And they have a complex digestive system called a rumen where they ferment that. They ferment that to get the nutrients out. So when you feed them grain, it gets them fatter faster. But it's like if I just put you in a room with nothing but Snickers and Mountain Dew all day, you'd be marbled, but you wouldn't be healthy. So that's why grass-fed and finished matters for beef.
Again, get to the website. You'll see how it directs to consumers. I see customers out there filling up their trunk, so that's great. I'm going to shift back one of your strengths, Phil, is your amazing outgoing 360. You're involved in so many things. In fact, you were the youngest Kiwanis president here in Gainesville. Tell us about the most significant thing you learned from that or accomplishment as a Kiwanian president.
So many things. I would say, you know, I joined Kiwanis when I came to Gainesville and had no idea what I was getting into in a good way. Joining a service organization is so powerful because you get connected to the community. If I ever hear people and they're like, oh man, I just can't get connected to this community, then I encourage them, then you should go and take intentional steps to do it because it's a wonderful community and just go get involved. Kiwanis, Rotary, certainly the Chamber of Commerce, all these things, wonderful organizations, and you will get what you give. Don't go into an organization saying, I want to network and grow my business. Say, I want to just connect with people in the community and I want to serve. And if you go serve, you will get plugged in. I remember, so I was the Kiwanis president. I guess I was 26 or 27. And I got so much more out of it and became so much more engaged as a result of being the president because you get to see so much more of what's going on. And it's just a joy to do it. So I would would be a lesson. Go get involved and be a part of a community. And serving is how you do that. And there's just so much joy from that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Phil, on being involved. Tell us a little bit more, because I know you're involved in other organizations like Alachi, the Chamber. You know, everywhere I turn around, I see you, another men's group we're in together. Expand on service.
Definitely. A quick little story. When I first started in banking and the community, they wanted you to go join boards. Really just for a network and to get business standpoint. This was a prior bank that doesn't even exist anymore. So I did that. And I quickly realized that I did not like the feeling of getting involved in things to get business. And I was involved in too many things. And I said, I'm going to settle this down to just what I'm so passionate about. And I'm just going to serve for the purpose of serving in areas I'm passionate about. Because I learned there's so many great causes. So that's what I did. And it's funny, over time, I saw that, golly, my connections and business things did expand because I was just looking to give. I was not looking to get anything in return. And I would just reiterate, you know, we're all made with unique gift strengths and talents and passions. Find something you're passionate about. It might be kids, it might be dogs, it might be business, whatever, and find an organization where you can serve with your unique gifts and talents in that.
Couldn't agree more. I think in our interview, we talked about the power of relationship. So we're going to stop there and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. But you're listening to North Georgia Business Radio X.
Thank you.
so many business opportunities and sharing of ideas happen around tables, particularly round tables. And so you're listening to North Georgia Business Radio X, and we're continuing our dialogue with Phil Benelli, who is, as you heard earlier, making a transition in his life. He's obviously a very well respected in the community, has his own independent farm, but he is now branching off on a passion of continuing his relationship building with people and looking to help, to serve, to be of service to business owners like himself. And so you're starting a consulting practice called Roundtable Advisors, if
Roundtable
I recall.
Roundtable Advisors, you got
so,
it.
So, how did that, where was the seed planted? How did that mature, nurture?
Yeah.
And where do you see Roundtable Advisors in 3 years?
All right. Thanks, Tony. As a commercial banker, which I'm just now retiring from, which still feels weird, but pretty cool. I'm excited about it. I really always looked at myself as a consultant who got paid by interest from lending money. And I love the thing that I loved getting to connect knowledge, right? Because I would work with a variety of businesses that were all successful. And I would see best practices and worst practices, and I would then get to kind of take that in and share that with other businesses I worked with. And I loved that and just connecting individuals too. And a need that I really saw was that as companies grow, they kind of need, there's additional experience and knowledge they need to keep growing. And how are you going to handle that? You could get it just from 40 years of trial and error, right? And bang your head against the wall. But I saw such value from bringing in particular, a very experienced CFO or COO, once you get to a certain size, who could help get kind of the financial lifeblood of the business in order, get their reporting in order so they're running things by the numbers, and also who could bring processes and systems. And I came across a concept, which I didn't create, it already existed, a fractional CFO, where you get a very experienced CFO who maybe you can't afford 5 days a week and you don't need 5 days a week yet, and you pay him or her to come in a day or two a week to add value because of all their experience. And that's a great model, but the weakness in that model is that CFOs are not really business developers. Generally, right? They want to be in there in the systems and the numbers. And I came to the conclusion that I could add a lot of value by connecting businesses that need them with the best executive talent that could be found. And the serving of the business is key. But I'm very excited about serving these CFOs and COOs too, because so far, the majority of folks that we have in the stable are what I call encore career guys. They're guys who, or gals, who have been there, done that. And I'm happy to say, hey, Tony, you are on the roster. Tony was the CFO of a major health system, the health system right here in Northeast Georgia. And he ran this humongous organization from a finance perspective. He knows processes and systems. He's been there, done that. And so how amazing that a growing business could have such expertise there at their office giving to them. So, but the reason that I'm excited about serving those CFOs and COOs, et cetera, is because, when you're retired, you go from you're so in it and you're using those skills to, you might be busy doing things, but maybe you're not flexing those skills as much. And I want to give whoever of these folks wants to, some people might want to just play golf and that's it, and that's great, but I want to give folks the opportunity to share, to help grow and help build, and to continue to learn, because running a hospital system is different than helping grow a manufacturing company, and you love to learn.
Right.
Right, and that's the key person, is someone who has so much experience and knowledge, but wants to keep learning and serving.
No, and I think it is a two-way street in terms of you're serving the clients that are in a growing mode, but again, the stable, I think you use, folks in that category, and I'll speak for myself, looking for purpose. And one of the joys I get is, folks like yourself reach out and say, hey, can we have a cup of coffee and talk about life, or decisions? There's a couple folks in town that, and I even offer, said, hey, if you'd like to have coffee, and it's a genuine, wow, I really appreciate that. People don't realize that folks in the retirement, you know, love to give back. They love to be part of something and to see, you know, whether they're your kids literally or not, you're all part of the community. And it gives the retiree purpose. And so I see it a real win-win, finding the right chemistry. The other value I see in it, Phil, is that it's, you know, the whole hiring process, you get a high-powered exec, you know, a COO, CEO, CFO, marketing exec, you know, and what if it doesn't work?
Right.
The chink in the armor, the sand in the gears, it just, whereas this is very fluid, and I've seen other organizations do that as well, and the flexibility and the chemistry is very, very powerful. But you know, and so your role in that will be what, Phil?
A few things. I'm the connector, really. So I'm finding these executives who I vet, because that's kind of a key. As I broke down, that's been a fun thing. You know, I always read all these business books and work with business, and I want to learn and grow. And now I'm in a position where I'm going to make plenty of mistakes, but I can build something the way I want to build it. And the key for us is to add the most value. I need the top talent. I need to bring the top value with me. So finding those folks, and then also finding the businesses to put them in. So I'm in constant communication on both sides of that, but then I get joy of doing what I've always done in the banking piece, just getting to know those businesses and continuing to be involved with bringing ideas and strategy and connecting. You mentioned that, hey, if you hire a full-time CFO or COO, or, you know, it's a big commitment. And that's one thing I love about this too, because our clients, they have to trust us that we're going to add value. And, you know, they make a financial investment for us to do that. So we just have, you know, we come in there, it's month to month, and we're going to add value. We hope that there's relationships that last for years, but it might be that we're on a temporary assignment for 3 months, and that's great too. We're happy to serve in whatever capacity is needed.
And any particular business nature, is it A to Z in terms of what you're thinking you can reach now?
Great question. You know, the folks on our growing team of Encore career executives are from a variety of backgrounds. Healthcare with you, IT, manufacturing, all these different, poultry, all these different industries. And I do believe there are key principles and concepts which are across industries. So we will place folks within their industry expertise, but then also have them be out stretching in different industries, because they're going to bring some new concepts.
Talk about the round table. You had another concept around what that round table is, not just like the Knights of the Round Table. It has a function. What were you thinking there?
The round table concept is just about bringing your team together. If you're a business owner, you need to have folks who are just sitting there with you around the table. We've got equal seats, and we're looking. If you're at a round table, everyone's looking to the center at the same place. Everyone has an equal seat. And that's a key part of what we do, is that we come and we're serving the company, but we're also helping to work with all the other important business advisors, like a CPA, an attorney, the banker, the insurance agent, making sure that all those partners are in lockstep, looking at the business and serving them in a coordinated way.
But you also talked about the stable, as you call it. They might talk to each other as well.
Oh, amen. Well, yeah, that's another thing that I'm excited about. Everybody has things to learn, and everybody has experiences other people don't have. And therefore, having this group of real experienced executives, we can call on each other. You might have a situation where you're serving a business and they're looking to get ready to prepare to sell. And you may not have done that in the public healthcare space. So you can call up somebody else who ran a business and sold it and get their advice. And we'll just keep growing and learning from each other and our clients. And I just think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, on the other side of the break, we're going to, you know, start asking, what would you give a younger person, a younger Phil? Or, you know, you always ask your interviewees what their, you know, philosophies or lessons learned. So we're going to do that on the other side. You are listening to North Georgia Business Radio X, and we'll be back in a moment. Thank you. Good Morning Vietnam. Many of you remember the famous Robin Williams character in that show. Well, we have a famous character here in the studio, Phil Benelli, as we continue our North Georgia Business Radio X. Phil is, you may have been listening to First Three, he's not going anywhere. I'm just borrowing the seat for a few minutes. He will be back here in his normal time, but want to, you know, pick Phil's brain on how he ended up in this chair or this studio. You know, was broadcasting one of his dreams, obviously a great communicator. Give us how this all came about. What was the path to this room?
Oh, yeah, thank you. And I have loved doing this. And you're doing a great job, by the way, Tony. Bo Henderson has had North Georgia Business Radio X for many years, and he runs a great business, by the way, Rich Life Advisors, who, if you'd like some advice on getting your financial house in order on the personal side, he's the guy to talk to, Rich Life Advisors. Anyway, he had the show, but he's very busy building his business, and it was tough for him to record every week. And so we got connected through a mutual friend, and he asked me to come and help host it. And I jumped at the opportunity because I love, it's what I loved about banking. It's what I love about Roundtable Advisors. I love connecting with businesses. I just truly do. And there's things that you just stumble onto. And that, we're going to talk about some life advice, and I might skip ahead to that real quick. If I were going to talk to me at 22 or 23 or somebody out there, you know, we kind of want to see the path. We want to know where we're going to be. I would have no idea that now I'm 39, I'd be doing the things I'm doing now. But there are different things I liked doing. For example, I've been a banker. Junior Achievement, I was involved with Junior Achievement. They needed people to go speak to kids at schools about how to balance a checkbook. And so I was a banker, so they asked me. So I went and did that. And then I realized, hey, I like speaking in front of groups. And so I did more and more of that, and then not just middle schools and then high schools and colleges and then corporate groups, and I just was following a skill set, finances, and I wanted to serve. So people asked me to serve the community related to finances, and that uncovered, I love speaking to people. And then that led to here. I never knew that, but at the end of the day, if I hadn't gotten to public speaking from teaching eighth graders about checkbooks when I was 23, I wouldn't be doing this radio show. I would not have known that it was something I enjoyed. And I have this coffee mug, Tony, which the audience can't see, but you can see.
Right.
What's inside there, Tony?
It's a map.
It's a map.
All county.
That's Smoky Mountains National Park.
Smoky Mountains National Park.
And every time I go to a national park, I get one of these. And the career journey is like that. You don't see the whole map when it's full of coffee. You just have to take a sip.
Ew.
You take a sip. Every sip reveals more of the map in reverse. But you just have to march forward. I have no idea. You asked me, what do I want Roundtable to look like in 5 years? Yeah, I have some plans and goals. But as I march forward, I will learn different ways to serve, different ways to add value, ways that I'm not doing it perfectly, ways I need to improve. And I'm just going to stay on the path, always looking to improve, always reflecting, and be excited about, who knows what'll come from it. But if you never go down the path, if you never take the sip of coffee, I'll tell you, nothing'll happen.
You got to step up. You got to step out.
You got to step
your
out.
You've always turned around with the kids and the checkbook, you know, pulling them forward. Obviously, you've had mentors or people that have been very influential in your life. What lessons have you learned from those? And share their names or if not, but just what lessons have you had that aha moment? I know you're a copious note taker. When someone says something, you write it down. Great. You know, tell us about, you know, where did you get your inspiration and who taught you the ropes?
So many lessons, and I learned from each and every guest on this show. I've learned a lot from you. I learned a lot from Bill Wilson, North Georgia's premier audio engineer, who's in the booth right now. Two things come to mind. I have several very intentional mentors. One is Robert Mallon, who's been on the show, and he does executive coaching. I've been in a group coaching environment with him for many years. And I think one thing I would summarize from what I've learned from him would be just to be very intentional with how you build your life. have goals, have a plan, go and design how you want to make things happen, and begin with the end in mind. He's been a huge, I won an award several years ago, and I was like, these people are saying a lot of nice things about me. I wonder if they're true. And if they are true, why? What have I done that's been award worthy? And I looked and I was like, well, if there's anything I've done that's award worthy, I learned it all from Robert.
Wow.
So kudos to Robert.
Just want to pick on something you said. I was, you know, in a group with you and Robert, and you know, the goal setting and a plan. You know, the person used analogy: if you watch the next 100-yard dash, every one of those folks in those blocks has a goal. They have a vision to cross that line, but the difference is who has a system.
Oh yes.
And the guy or gal that's in those lanes that did the most training, the most interval training, the leg weights, et cetera, the ones that trained, not just, you know, episodically, but trained episodically or routinely, consistently, that system will get you the goal line. So when you say plan, it's, you said it real quickly, but vision without plan and plan without initiative, taking a step, sticking your neck out.
Gotta have it.
You gotta have them all.
Well, I will tell you, another big mentor of mine on that note is the guy who's been my manager and my last 5.5 years of banking at Regions. And then prior to that, at a different institution, J.D. Mueller. He's like a brother to me, as is Robert, but a huge mentor. And one thing I learned from him without him even telling me, but just by his actions, is that, you know, he imparts belief and confidence in those who work for him. So with the example of running the 100-yard dash, you need a plan. We want to cross that finish line. And we're going to have a plan to get there, and we're going to have the systems and processes. So I worked for JD, then I worked elsewhere for like 3.5 years, and then I worked for him again. And when I worked elsewhere, I gained this whole new skill set. Like, I mean, I got a lot of skills and knowledge I didn't have. And quite frankly, there were some things JD didn't have, which is why I didn't get them before. Mm-hmm. He's got his skill set. I learned this other skill set. But when I came back and worked for JD again, he imparted such confidence and belief in me that it took all that I'd learned and allowed me to fully flourish and use it. Right? So I could have a plan if I want to run the 100-yard dash. But if I don't have somebody who's telling me I can do it.
And trust and let you do it.
Amen.
Let you fail.
Amen.
Safely. Yes. Fail safely. That trust is incredibly important.
And I do think, for the most part, people really rise up to the expectations you have for them and that confidence you give them. I mean, sometimes people don't, right? But if you believe in them, that's what I want to tell my kids.
Right.
You've got it. You've got what it takes to do whatever. And then they'll believe it.
No. Affirmation and confidence is, as a parent, as a business leader, it's an incredible secret sauce. And then delegate and then let them happen.
Let them do it.
My son's in the military, and he shares, you tell him what needs to be done, not how to do it.
Oh, I love that.
You know, the platoon sergeant knows how to run the platoon. I'll figure out strategy and where we need to be, but I don't get in his business because I have confidence he'll do it. And military has great leadership history, so you know, can borrow from that. As we're wrapping up here, I'm gonna maybe, you know, shift gears a little bit. You know, favorite place or experience, trip. Any you know, getting a little know Phil a little bit better, and then, you know, what you've experienced, and then maybe what dreams you have of outside this round table world that you're about to launch into. What dreams do you have about on your family side and personal side or adventure side? You're kind of a go-getter.
I do love to travel, which is funny. The more, you know, my farm, I love to create an environment that, like, I mean, I really just kind of like to be there. But I do love to go out and about. And it's especially good for me to intentionally do that, because then I'm not thinking about things I want to do at the farm. I'm just focused on the people I'm with.
Disconnect.
And I love national parks. I mean, you want to see beauty. I love art. And there's no greater artist than God, who made the Yosemite National Park and Smoky Mountains and all that stuff.
Wonderful.
We're going on a family trip in May to Philadelphia and Boston to study a little history.
Excellent.
Drink at some new coffee shops and just have some time together.
That's fantastic. I couldn't agree with you more. I love the outdoors. Grew up in Washington State. So make it to Mount St. Helens,
okay.
Rainier, Olympics. Washington State has three national parks. They're all wonderful, Puget Sound. Well, as we wrap up, I want to thank Phil for sharing a little bit of his side. And until next time, you've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. What local business do you know that should be highlighted on our program? Let us know. Just search North Georgia Business Radio X on Facebook or contact Bo at businessradiox.com. See you next time, and remember to support our local businesses.